Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Pop Goes the World by Men Without Hats.
Thursday night, and it's a show. It's a Thursday show. It's the file name that I save it as is The Jick Show, but it's not The Jick Show anymore. It's The Jick and Hot Stuff and Riff Show, or The Jick and Riff and Hot Stuff Show, or The Hot Stuff and Riff and Jick Show. How you doing, Hot Stuff and Riff?
Confused by your description of our show.
I should have asked you one at a time so that you wouldn't have both spoken at the same moment.
Doing okay.
Yeah. What have you guys been up to since the last time you spoke to our dear, dear listeners?
About the same, except I replaced Patapon 2 with the new Zelda game.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Are you making spirit tracks?
I am indeed.
Have you been injecting spirit heroin and have spirit track marks on
that
your arms?
Makes sense.
A little, yeah. I also haven't slept in, like, 26 or 28 hours, so...
Riff,
I may not be very coherent.
You know that our insurance covers like mental health, right?
And sleeping.
Actually, there's like a sleep. You could go to a sleep therapist.
Ooh.
Or you could sleep with the rapist.
Do you think
Sleeping with the Rapist was that movie It was the sequel to Sleeping with the Enemy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sleeping with the Enemy Mine was that movie where it was like... I don't know anything about Sleeping with the Enemy, or I would have made a joke where I was talking like the guy.
Yeah.
What's that dude's name?
Knots 30. I don't know.
Dalach. What's the dude's name?
I don't remember. I saw it, like, within the past month.
Ago.
Yeah, and I don't remember it. Dude, my memory is terrible. You know this.
Yeah, okay. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, this past week I've just been, fighting with walls and losing.
Oh, yeah. We were climbing yesterday and Hot Stuff left a giant bloody smear on the wall at the rock gym.
So
it was pretty gross.
Yeah.
He fell and scraped a scab off that he sustained falling in the same place.
The previous
week.
Yeah. Cool.
They finally got to do the two-person route, which involves one person sort of latching onto the wall.
Jesus.
And then another person climbing up that person.
Yeah. It's a neat idea.
Getting latched onto another spot, yeah.
It makes me wonder if you could do, like, an arbitrary number of persons route.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys were getting pretty familiar with one another.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to use your knob as a handhold. I'm glad that I wasn't climbing that route with you.
Yeah.
People would have made fun of us. Yeah. Oh, man. People would totally think that you and I were a gay couple.
Yeah.
Can't have that. Hot Stuff and I do all of our grocery shopping together. It's really...
Not all of it.
No wonder Hot Stuff never has sex with the hot beer girl at Whole Foods.
Yeah, I was thinking of going there on my
yourself.
Own.
Yeah. We need to get some more Cali Belgique. You could go there as my proxy. Or you could use a hand puppet as my proxy. You could be like, hey, hot beer girl at Whole Foods, have you met my wingman, Mr. Handy J?
Jesus. What is wrong with C.D. Moyer?
I don't know. This is problematic, though. He's been talking about hand jobs in dev chat a lot and referring to them as Handy J.
There was that scene in Superbad where she says, I'm going to give you the best blow J. Or was it blow J or B job?
Blow J is more blow awkward J. if that's what they were going
I
for.
I think that's what they were. Yeah, she was supposed to be drunk.
Yeah. Ah, well. So, you've been playing Spirit Tracks. How is it? Describe it for our listening public.
Well, if you played Wind Waker or Phantom Hourglass, it is more or less the same, except instead of a boat, there's a train.
Oh.
And, yeah.
You got to... I mean, clearly there are tracks that the train is running on.
Yes.
So you can't just, like...
So you can't arbitrate
they
out
are
it
they,
and you're not actually in control
titular
of it then, so what are you doing?
Spirit tracks. Well, you control it a little bit. You have the choice between either setting your route by drawing the line along the map, or you can do it live by... It gives you, like, the little lever to flip when you're coming near an intersection.
Huh.
But you also have to scout around for enemies to shoot with the cannon, and if you're transporting a passenger, they will get pissy at you if you don't obey, like, speed limit and blow your horn signs.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's
so it's
weird.
It's your basic sort of Zelda game, except instead of wandering around freely in between the dungeons, you're traveling back and forth between various locations in a train.
Huh. Does it have the awesome feature from Phantom Hourglass where there's a single dungeon that you have to run through over and over and over and over and over and over and
it
over?
It has
over?
The single dungeon, but you don't have to run through the previous levels again.
Oh, that's cool.
They appear to be... It may be advantageous to go back, because I think there is some stuff in the previous ones that I missed by not having
the
later
hookshot
tools.
Yeah.
But I haven't
grenade
gone back to check yet.
Hookshot, Boomerang, and Rape Grenade were my three favorite
Zelda.
Yeah. It's like a rape whistle. It's like an anti-rape thing, so don't get me wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You should always
pull
carry
the pin and then
you should always carry
a
rape
amount of
whistle.
Rape sprays out all over everybody.
Yeah, no, it's like canola.
It's like canola?
No, it is. It is canola. It just sprays canola oil all over it. It's good if you have a huge room full of popcorn that's about to get really hot. Because you don't want it to be dry.
Right.
Right. So you throw the rape grenade into the room full of popcorn.
Yeah.
That's about to get hot. Like, say you're on a spaceship that's heading into the sun.
Yeah. And
it's say it's like a huge, huge spaceship, like a spaceship the size of a planet, right?
Yeah.
And there are rooms for everything.
How about if it's just a planet?
And you found the popcorn room.
You mean the corn kernel room?
Yeah, the unpopped popcorn kernel room.
Okay.
So and it's really, really, because it's all alphabetical, so it's really far away, and it's like literally every object.
And every instance of that object that exists?
No, it's just a bunch of them for supplies.
Yeah, otherwise, you need a different room for every popcorn.
The long trip into the sun that the ship was designed for. No, it's going to come out the other side. Like Rama, remember? Did you ever read Rendezvous with Rama? Or
I
the
didn't read
Rama
the books,
series?
But I played the video game.
Oh, yeah. That one, the device went into the sun. It as part of its course, it drove through our sun and recharged.
Part of its corset?
Huh.
Yeah. Yes. It's part of its corset was too cold, so it needed to run into the sun to heat up its corset.
The magic corset.
Yeah. So I played a little bit of New Super Mario Bros. Wii today, and I know that they may well be shooting their wad in the first few levels just to charm the pants off of dudes like me, but my pants were comprehensively charmed off by that game. I was like, you know what this game is? This game is fucking Super Mario World 2.
Yeah, it was pretty satisfying just to watch you play for a little bit.
You like to watch, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though.
I shall have to wait for somebody to post a Let's Play of it, because that is exactly the style of game at which I completely suck.
Oh, Super Mario World stuff?
Really?
You're not a big platformer?
No, not at all.
Huh. So then my recommendation for, like, that Flash, Dale, and Peacock game was...
I played
terrible.
A little of it, and the mechanics were cool, but yeah, I couldn't get...
It didn't look like something that I don't like. I don't like platformers with huge levels like that.
It wasn't. You should just play it. It wasn't. It's not as huge as it seems.
Well,
you should play it.
Okay, but it seemed too huge to be fun.
No, you should play it. It's fun.
All right. I don't mind because like clearly like the Castlevania games that are my loves. Right? They're huge levels, but they're divided up into rooms. So it's okay, right?
Yeah, but I mean, so is that game. I mean, you could definitely see. Sections is like being.
Is there a map?
No. Map would be very helpful, actually.
Hmm. So, yeah, what have you been playing? Hot stuff?
A couple of Flash games. Nothing particularly interesting, actually, this past week at least.
Oh, I've also been playing that Might and Magic Clash of Heroes for the DS.
I've been playing a lot of music. I've been listening. I've been trying to, like, sort through some of my unsorted music.
I finally got the network drives back. The data from the network drives back from the data recovery jack-offs, and so I've also been going through I've been trying to, like, all of the data and media that I've collected for the last, like, 5 years. I spent, like, a lot of last weekend organizing it into directories with all of the MP3s.
Does that mean you have the comics that I was supposed to read through that you downloaded?
The ones that dude...
Yeah.
Who was that?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I've got the K-mail, though. But, like, were those on the network drive?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
Then
they're
somewhere. I should look at them now that you have that back.
Yep. We gotta read them so that we can make fun of them on the air. That's what we wanted.
Or
maybe they're the awesomest thing ever.
Yeah, praise them.
It is very difficult for me to get myself to read a black and white comic.
Really?
I don't know why.
Did you read Dr. McNinja?
No.
Wow, really?
Wow.
That's good.
I don't mean a black and white web comic. That's okay. Dr. McNinja was not very good. Although I'm told I'm told that you're not supposed to start at the beginning of Dr. McNinja.
Really?
It was really stupid. The beginning of Dr. McNinja was really stupid. And, like, I met that guy, and he seemed like a smart dude, right? And, like, there's a book, and I've seen some stuff that's, like,
so
you know...
Clearly, if there's a book, it must be cool.
No, it must be at least...
Going rogue.
So the art is a billion times better in the stuff that I've seen recently compared to...
He has gotten a lot better,
Like, seriously...
But
seriously, if you go to the beginning of Dr. McNinja, it is terribly drawn and it is really stupid.
Okay.
Like, I want to believe, like David Duchovny. But not David Duchovny in The X-Files. I want to believe like David Duchovny in The Red Shoe Diaries. I want to believe that in the apartment across from mine, there are gorgeous girls who would totally go down on each other if they just got drunk enough. That's what I want to believe. I also apparently want to believe that I live in an apartment. I don't think there is anywhere... That's the nice thing about New York. There's a lot of windows to look into if you're a voyeuristic perv like you.
That's not
so. That's what all the rock climbing is about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out how to climb onto buildings so that he can look into ladies' windows just in case they're drunk enough to go down on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame you, buddy. I would do the same thing if I were stronger. what was I talking about?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't remember what I was talking about.
Dr. McNinja.
Dr. McNinja, yeah.
Black
and White Comics. I was talking about the network drive. You were talking about music. Yeah, so music. MP3s. MP3s. And a bunch of random M4As, and what the fuck is an M4P?
It's the digital rights managed version of M4A.
We actually figured this out. It's a DRM.
Protected.
I had a whole bunch of WMA files that somebody sent me a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I liked them, and I really wanted to listen to more of them. It is this dude, this like weird like street musician from Seattle named Jason Webley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got some songs that are really good.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, like, I think you walked in while I was playing like a YouTube video that was him covering Hey Ya.
Huh.
It's like kind of a deep voiced dude on an accordion covering Hey Ya. Anyway, so there are these like WMA files that like they were sent to me years ago, and I was able to listen to them. And every time I try to listen to them now, it's like Winamp needs to acquire a license for this music. It's going to launch a website, and then it like launches a 404. So I don't know what the fuck. Like, I've just got some WMAs that I can't play.
Wow. That is awful. If the DRM...
I mean, they were totally stolen. Like, I don't deserve that music. I didn't buy it.
But the DRM, like, is to the point where it just, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
In 5 years, nothing that you had from that period will be able to play.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's some crazy bullshit. Wonder if the DRM expires when the copyright expires.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that is not built into any DRM anywhere.
Well, because copyright is going to continue to get longer and longer until nothing ever expires.
Until Disney is truly dead. Until somebody finally takes a flamethrower to his jar-bound head. Ooh, I wonder if Walt Disney's head... Okay, who do you think would win between Walt Disney's head in a jar and Jake Gyllenhaal from Jarhead without a head?
Well...
It's like neither of them can really do anything, right? So, like...
Jake Gyllenhaal has a gun.
Yeah, but he doesn't have eyes to aim it with.
But you could just shoot...
But he does not aim with his eye.
Everywhere.
He aims with his eye has forgotten the face of his father. Neither of you have read the Dark Tower series.
No, I have.
Oh. Well, neither of you have read the Dark Tower series or think that that joke was funny.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah. Didn't get a whole lot of Twitter questions.
Did we get some voicemails?
I got a bunch of voicemails ready. King Stupid says, so did Riffin' Hot Stuff drink the absinthe nog? Haven't done it yet. I'm down to like...
Hot Stuff is not drinking the absinthe nog.
I'm down to, like, a couple inches of absinthe at my house. I need to take one of your bottles. We talked about this, right? I'm going to take one of your bottles and then buy you a new one someday.
Sounds good.
Okay. Sweet. Because I can't... I find myself not
able
to
just
be
order
nearly
on
as
Amazon?
Bohemian as I would like. You can't really order it from Amazon. I feel like it cost me, like, $300 or $400 to get all the absinthe that I bought. But then I had absinthe for a long time, and I was able to give absinthe to people who'd never had absinthe before. I like doing stuff like that. I was able to... give it to girls, and then they went all crazy because it's the devil's liquor. Then they went home. Whatever. It's not really the devil's liquor. It doesn't really make you hallucinate or anything.
Does
it makes Riff kind of giggly.
Yeah.
Does Amazon not sell any liquor?
Oh, I don't know. I've not liked any of the absinthe that I've bought other than the first stuff that we had from France. So... I would order it from France if I was buying some more of it. Some more of the same brand.
No, we
haven't done that yet. Riff, when do you leave town?
Next Friday.
Next Friday. So next Thursday is the last radio show where we're all in town.
That is correct.
So that's when we're going to have the absinthe nog.
So apparently alcohol is in the health and personal care section.
Sweet. Big Red Stew says, getting my tattoos of the class icons on Monday. If I put a smile on the seal clubber, will I be set on fire? You know, you're getting a tattoo. You can do whatever you want with it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could draw big penises on all the class characters.
Like little dongs.
Yeah, like little web dongs.
Huh.
Oh, man. Dongs? Hot Stuff and I were talking about opening a theme park where we clone cowboy robots from mosquitoes trapped in horse crap at ancient cowboy websites.
I meant to say campsites, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't say campsite anymore.
I couldn't parse that at all.
Well, it came out of a sequence of...
You were talking about Westworld.
Yeah, Westworld and Wild Wild West.
Westworld and Wild Wild West, and I was talking about how Westworld was about a theme park with robots in it. It was like Jurassic Park, except instead of dinosaurs, they had cowboy robots.
Yeah.
And Hot Stuff was like, that were cloned from DNA samples found at ancient cowboy websites. Like, yes.
I meant to say campsites.
But it's funny, because they're robots, so it's funnier. It's funnier to clone them from DNA that you found in websites.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder how much DNA I've left scattered around the internet.
I like it when Yulbrunner's face melts and there's robot parts underneath it.
Do you like it when anybody's face melts?
No, just Yulbrunner.
Not Schwarzenegger?
No, that wasn't cool. Although I did like it when Schwarzenegger pulled his eyeball out with a pair of forceps.
There's only two parts to a forceps. I don't get that.
Yeah. So they should call it a two-ceps?
Yeah.
Like tulips?
Yeah.
I remember something. I think it was from... Was it Small Wonder? No, Small Wonder was the one about the robot. What was the one about the girl out of this world? The girl whose dad was like a spaceman? And he talked to her, cube. She was like half alien, so she could stop time by touching her nose.
Yeah,
I don't think I ever heard of that one.
Yeah, she had like these magic powers. I remember at some point on that show, somebody like having gotten a note from a secret admirer that contained the poem. I like tulips in the garden. I like tulips in the park. But the tulips I like best are your tulips in the dark.
Huh.
And I always remembered that poem because it was so adorable. That was a weird show, though. She could stop time by touching her nose.
The end of every show was like her teleconferencing
her dad,
with her dad,
and then him giving her like a lesson about
it was
life.
It was like Mork and Mindy, but less wacky and more.
You know, I remember watching Mork and Mindy as a kid, like when it was on. I feel like, but I don't remember anything about Mork and Mindy.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't remember what the shows individually were about. I remember like some of the mechanics of the show, where you know.
I mean, I remember like. Orson, like, Mork laid an egg and had a baby that was old, because it was... Who was it? It was
something. They, like, age in reverse or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, because he aged in reverse. It was, what's his name? The guy who looked like that chef.
The guy who looked like what chef?
Julius Child?
No.
Paul Prudhomme?
Paul Prudhomme, yeah. I always confuse him with that guy.
Emeril.
Maybe it was Paul Prudhomme.
The internet would know the answer to these questions.
The internet probably would know, but...
They're not really interesting questions is the part of the problem.
Ewell wrote, absinthe makes the heart grow fonder. Actually, I remember hearing this joke on a radio show that my dad used to listen to in the morning when I was a kid about this guy who went into the doctor, and he's like, doctor, I have a really embarrassing problem. Every time I pass gas, it makes this sound like, Honda! Honda! And, the doctor was like, well, you need to go see a dentist. And the guy's like, okay. So the guy goes to the dentist, and the dentist is like, oh, of course, you have an abscess behind your right molar. And he was like, how did the doctor know that? And the dentist says, well, it's simple. Abscess makes the heart... God damn it. Abscess makes the fart go Honda.
Wow.
I hate it when I fuck up a...
Wow.
It's almost a Shaggy Dog story. It's not quite long enough to be a Shaggy Dog story, you know?
Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters. Not Edgar Winters, though.
Makes yeah, that's weird.
Let's see. All Night Diner is talking about some stuff. Far-fetched Child says, if you could be any kind of tree, what kind of tree would you be? I think I would be a country.
Wow.
Huh.
Remember Sorab asking if you could describe a culture's women collectively as their country?
Yeah. The gentry and the country.
Yeah, the gentry and the country.
Yeah.
Also, could it be profitable/practical to make custom shot glasses? No.
Well, is the question for us, or is it something like a business endeavor that they are trying to get into?
Why would they ask us for advice about making money by selling physical objects?
Because we would buy a lot of shot glasses.
We would buy a lot of shot glasses from them. Yeah, I would like every shot of alcohol that I take for the rest of my life to be in a shot glass that is labeled with the date and what I'm doing a shot of. So, and the thing is, I don't know what I'm going to be drinking, so I have to order just one of every shot glass. Actually, 10 of every shot, because I might want 10 shots of rum tomorrow, right?
You can't use the same shot glass?
No. Well,
no, because yes. You have to throw them against the wall.
They also need to have the time. I need to romantically hurl them off of my bearskin rug onto the hearth.
Yeah. Huh. Wow, you've got a complicated life.
I went to grab a wine glass, and I didn't have one. I think they all broke.
You don't have any wine glasses?
I don't think I have any wine glasses. I think I only had one left, and it probably just broke.
You could very easily use things that are similar to wine glasses, like your...
Like a snifter.
Levitation glasses.
Mason jar.
Yeah, I could use a mason jar. I like drinking absinthe out of wine glasses, though. I don't like those absinthe glasses from
the Lafay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the measurement on them is not what I prefer.
They're really
I didn't even
thick,
realize there was a measurement on them.
Glass, too. They're really heavy.
You're, like, supposed to fill that bottom bulb with absinthe and then pour water up to some other point, but I can't... From looking at it, I couldn't really figure out how it was supposed to work.
It's like 3-to-1 water to absinthe normally, or
what? I don't know.
Yeah,
pour in some absinthe and pour some water on it.
But didn't
pour
you just say you had a preferred
pour water until the
measurement?
Sugar is gone?
Yeah,
and then that's enough water. I made it a little too weak when I made it last night.
You could always add more absinthe.
I guess that's true.
I'm thinking.
So we got some voicemails. Wolf V says, can you guys make a familiar based on that eyeball thing you guys put hats on? No. He'll find his way into a project eventually. Let's do some voicemail. Here's one from Ziggy Zagnut.
Hey guys, this is Ziggy Zagnut. My son Eli has something to ask you.
Bring back the Traveling Trader.
Yeah, he really wants the Traveling Trader to come back, and he would actually like you to have unstable laser batteries cough. Do that. Also, he has a question for Riff. He wants something for Christmas. Tell him what you want for Christmas.
I want the Long Robot Big Action Spaceship.
Okay, and you want the Eve Lander?
The Spaceship Tower. Yeah. The one with the bridge.
Alright, thanks guys, love the show, bye.
Alright, Riff, get on that.
Okay.
Wait, okay.
What was it?
Some Ziggy sort of Zagnut's spaceship.
Alright, so Ziggy Zagnut is the guy who sent us those calendars,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah, Ziggy Zagnut also sent this piece of artwork that he described as being something that was not cool enough to go into the calendar, but it was like somebody could use it as a jumping off point for a real artist to do it. But I think it is pretty cool, and I hung it on the wall in the office. It's a ninja who's killed a bunch of dudes in Hobopolis, and there are 3 haiku about the experience of killing all of the dudes in Hobopolis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good old Ziggy Zagnut. I think we should give him what he wants
for Christmas.
Although,
trader.
I don't think that the Traveling Trader should come back and take unstable laser batteries. I don't know if Ziggy Zagnut collects those.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing that that's probably what's going on.
But what was the... What did his son want?
No idea.
Something spaceship.
No, yeah.
Some specific kind of spaceship. Ah, man. I wish I could understand child.
Yeah, you don't speak baby.
I don't think he's a baby. I think he's just a toddler.
Yep. In fact, Ziggy Zagnut has 31,317 unstable laser batteries.
Wow.
That is a lot of unstable laser batteries. Did that? Because those came from one of the...
I don't...
Those came from...
I have no idea where anything comes from.
Did it come from the Death Ray and Pear Tree?
It's like every December, like, I would sort of like disappear, and then I'd come back, and like there'd be a million things that had happened.
Yeah, it was from
you and your stupid seasonal affective disorder.
It was from the laser lancing.
Oh, okay. So there were how many lasers lancing were there?
Jillion.
Wait, this item is a reference to Terminator 3: Rise of the Machines, in which a scene features a damaged fuel cell humming, sparking, and steaming before violently exploding. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No, it is not a reference to Terminator 3: Rise of the Machines. Man. Man, this wiki.
Many ways that you can interpret.
How many lasers lancing were there? Like, how many lasers lancing could one person fight?
In the song, were there?
The wiki doesn't seem to say. Although I think laser lancing would be an awesome name for a crime fighter from Michigan.
Didn't that joke actually come up?
Did it? Possibly.
It's a pretty impressive collection of unstable laser batteries, actually. So, we've got, you know what, I need to make a directory to throw these into. What is today? 2009-12-09?
I don't know what day it is.
Is it the 9th? That's the 10th. Jesus, where is this month going?
Oh, God, that's... All right. That's not a lot of time.
Rex Maxis.
Hey, Jake, and whoever else you might be on the radio with tonight, I forget because I listened to the podcast. It's Rex Maxis. Anyway, I have a dilemma. I know how you feel about college, or actually, I know how you feel about high school, you know, doing as many chicks as possible, but I'm talking about college. Should I go to a big school or a small school? Thanks, bye.
You know, I suddenly feel like we've already listened to this voicemail on the radio. Have we discussed this before?
Not on this show.
Whether you should go to a big school or a small school?
I don't know.
In my mind, it is a question of what are the advantages and disadvantages of a big school versus a small school in terms of the number of, say, 19-year-old girls that you can bang in a given year at that school.
Yeah.
So at a small school, there are clearly fewer girls.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not so much a matter of...
Go to like, a veterinary school.
Yeah, straight numbers of girls. It's a matter of proportions of, you know, how many girls to how many guys.
So you want to go to a college that is like Alaska.
What? Why is that? What's with Alaska?
No, you want to go to a college that's unlike Alaska.
Alaska's mostly dudes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really tough question, right? Because I feel like I don't know if the caliber of the school is important. Like, a small school that has, like, a really high caliber of students would be, you know, more interesting. Yeah. I kind of wanted to go there. I don't remember the name of this college, but there's a college, I think, in Montana, somewhere in the middle of the country, that
was
a working farm.
Butt college in
no,
Butt, Montana?
But it's a working farm.
Was it
and
Boner College?
There is no tuition. You work the farm,
college?
And there's like a, I don't know, like 15 people per class. Like, it's really super selective.
But then do they teach you anything about
yeah,
subjects?
Yeah, no, then like half the time you're like working the farm, and then half the time you're
learning about farm
no,
philosophy.
It's like a real college.
They call that farm philosophy.
Yeah.
And then you take the pharmology class.
And I talked to my mom. I just like showed my mom a brochure, and she was like, "There is no way in hell you are going to this college." And I'm like, "But," and she's like, "No." I'm like, "Well, fine." And that was the last discussion we had about where I was going to college.
Hmm.
And so when she found out I was going to MIT, she's like, "When did you apply to MIT?" It's like, I want to stop talking to you about college, Mom.
So MIT is a fairly big school.
I don't know, like 1,100 students per class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's 10,000 students total, but over half of them are graduate students. Are graduate students.
Are cruft.
No, that's different.
Are any of them attractive girls?
In your opinion, no.
Okay. And that one girl was kind of cute.
There are plenty of attractive girls.
Hmm. Over at Harvard.
You can cross-register at Harvard. You can cross-register at Wellesley, which is all
girls.
Can
you cross-dress at Harvard?
Sure.
Can you cross-dress at Wellesley? And if you did, would you just be a girl dressed as a dude?
I don't know. You know, I didn't take any classes at Wellesley. And that would have been kind of interesting, I think, to just, like, be in a classroom that every other person in the class is a girl.
Like, every other person? Like, half the people
every
were girls?
Every alternate person?
No. Every person in the classroom, except for you, is a girl.
I'm not in a classroom.
Well, if you were, they would all be girls.
Oh. Well, of course. Because it'd be women's studies.
Right.
And I would just keep raising my hand, like, when do we get to watch girls go down on each other? I mean, that's basically what I did in every class. It's just that, like, it might have actually been an appropriate question in a women's studies, in a particularly lesbian studies class. Let's do another voicemail.
Okay.
This is from Cyan220.
Hi, guys. Cyan220 here. I just been listening to Monday's show, and you guys are curious what's going on with some of the recordings. Much like when you're reading fantasy and something doesn't make sense, a wizard did it. When there's something wrong with the podcast, it's because Stargazer asked me to help with something, and something came up. Actually, what happened is my dog was very sick last week, and I was therefore unable to get to my computer in time to start the recording, as Stargazer had asked me to, because she was going to be out of town. You should see that Monday show is up on the podcast. Everything else is working fine, just a little bit of a hiccup last week when my dog was sick. Sorry to anyone who's trying to listen to the show. I dropped the ball. Feel free to insult me and grief me as much as you feel is necessary. Thanks. Bye.
So that explains that. Anybody listening who has a copy of the last Monday show, not the last one, but the one before that, any Monday shows that are clearly missing from the podcast, if anybody happens to have a recording of them and sent them to me, I would reset that back up. I like to imagine that the way in which Cyan220's dog getting sick stopped him from making it to his computer in time to start the recording was actually that Cyan220's dog vomited so much that there was just this comical slipping around in vomit for an
windmilling
hour.
Windmilling his arms. And
yeah, just flailing, just pinwheeling.
I think what happened was is that the dog was not simply sick with geysers of vomit. It was a curse of vomit geyser cast by a wizard.
See, I had a totally different
indirectly
impression.
A wizard did in fact do it.
That's true.
I was imagining that the fart the dog was just continuously farting, and he was out on a walk, and it was such that he was like tangled up in the leash, and the dog, because it was farting, was just like shooting along like a rocket
away from Cyan.
Away from
computer.
Yeah, away from the computer.
But not like a rocket that was going fast enough that he could actually make it all the way around the world in time to start the recording again.
Correct.
It's like the carbonated fish we were theorizing about the other day.
Yeah, I was thinking about fish, and I was thinking about the phrase to drink like a fish, and how fish live in water. Do they even drink? I don't really think they do. Right, but then I was thinking, well, does that mean that they don't ever fart? If they did fart, would they fart water? And then I was like, well, what if you put them in a carbonated tank of water?
Yeah, what would happen if you put a fish in a
carbonated tank? I don't know. Now I want to know.
Because, I mean, I wonder if their gills just absorb some water.
That's
right,
what I was
while
thinking.
It's absorbing oxygen. So
I mean, they also swallow food, and at the same time that they swallow the food, they also swallow some water.
Wait, what? So you're saying that if you never drank liquid, you would never fart?
Well, like, do they fart?
Like, no, do you ever get any gas? I mean, surely fish eat things that have reactions inside their digestive tracts that produce gas. Right?
Maybe.
Like, because anything that's decomposing
produces
gas, right? And, like, anything that you eat decomposes before you shit it out to some extent or another. Is that true of fish?
Does their digestive system work the same way ours does?
I mean...
Would they off-gas in the same way that we do? Or would it, like, go out through their skin? You know, who knows?
I don't know. I mean, doesn't that still count as a fart? If you fart through your skin, isn't it still farting?
I don't know. We should check with the farting commission.
Like, if you fart through your mouth, like when you've been drinking a lot of soda, that's still farting. I learned that from the BFG.
The big fucking gun?
No, the Big Friendly Giant. That Roald Dahl book. You don't remember that?
No.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
I don't know that I've ever read that one, actually.
It's pretty good. We had it read to us when I was in, like, fifth grade. wow, this is frustrating. For some reason, the broadcast program doesn't like release these files when they're done. So,
what? Here's a question that I have for you: though. Why is it that you are not recording the Monday shows?
Because I do not broadcast them.
Just because you, but you hear Scully.
Yeah, but I also hear him coughing and farting and smoking during the breaks and talking to his wife and stuff.
Okay.
I could do it and I could edit out. I just don't have any good way to edit out the music breaks and stuff. Sure, yeah. I mean, I guess I should just start.
It just seems silly that one of you is not recording it. If he can't, then you should be.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, I did not have good luck figuring out a way to record Skype conversations, like, when we were trying to pre-record the Monday shows, or the Thursday shows. When I was in New York, it was just a huge pain in the ass. You wouldn't think it would be, but it totally is. I don't know what I don't know what Frenola has set up that he can just record everything that's going in the mics and the speaker.
I mean, he's got a crazy
audio setup, right? So yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah. No, it's just a hassle. I mean,
everybody just sort of like spooched themselves over the quality of the shows that you did.
A couple people were kind of excited. I wouldn't say everyone spooged themselves.
They did, but I mean, people aren't going to type about that.
Oh, man, maybe Cyan220's dog had some sort of disorder that caused him to spooge himself, and Cyan220 was actually pinwheeling his arms while flailing around and slipping in a mixture of vomit and spooge.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And maybe it summons the dog vomit and dog spooge demon that grants him three wishes.
That is an awesome image.
I don't think I want any wishes from that demon.
All right, so during the music break, when we get here, everybody who hasn't seen it yet needs to do a YouTube search for Happy in Paraguay.
It's also the first article on minimumsafedistance.org.
Oh, is it?
Available on the web at minimumsafedistance.org.
Overthinkingit.com. We haven't done a shout out to those guys in a while, and they haven't done a shout out to us in a while either. So, yeah, the Overthinking It podcast rules.
So you need to make some more shout outs to the Idle Thumbs podcast.
Yeah,
maybe we'll get to hang
maybe
out with them.
Maybe they'll bring
San Francisco.
I hope that it actually goes through. I hope that we actually get to hang out with Jonathan Blow, so that I can.
I mean,
I know
he emailed me.
I know. Did he say that he thought that I was cute?
He didn't, but I got that.
Did you send him? Did you send him an email that was like, "Do you like Zach?" Yes or no.
I didn't.
And then he wrote maybe and circled that because he's playing hard to get.
Nice.
Here's another voicemail.
Hey, Jack. This is Captain Spam. I'd just like to say I hope you had fun in Columbus, and thanks for going out to get us White Castle at 4 in the morning. Have fun.
That is such a thing that you would do.
Until I listened to that voicemail, I did not actually remember going out.
You told me some story about driving around for like an hour when the place was like 5 miles away.
Yeah,
five minutes away.
I don't remember.
Because Nightmare was driving us somewhere, and you were like, yeah, we totally went all over the place to get to this thing that was like 5 minutes away.
I barely remember that. I remember buying a Crave case.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have historically, like people have been hungry at a party, and you've been like, I'll go to Del Taco, and then you come back with, like, more food than anybody could eat in, like, several days.
Yeah, that's my...
Your style.
I like to provide experiences for people.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a thing that I do. All right, here's another voicemail. Speaking of experience points.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Just wanted to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. And hope everybody gets healthy. And, Jack, you know, it sounds like we're very similar gamers because you're talking about playing old RPGs and how you don't like having a party of people. And for me, I hate games like that where you've got to control multiple people. And it's basically because I don't care how many times my character gets killed, but I feel bad if, like, people in my party end up getting killed, you know, just like in real life. And so I was thinking maybe if you could find some games where you control a party of people that are just all assholes, so it doesn't really matter, you know, whether or not they die. So get on that. And thanks for a great show, great game. See you guys. Bye.
You know, I was thinking about that. Like, I did really enjoy the Might and Magic games, and those were games where you were controlling a party of people, and I don't mind managing the inventory of that many people. It's just actually controlling them as avatars that actually represent them, it makes it the thing that I don't like doing, right? Huh. Having to... And it's not even like... I was going to say, like, having to make six decisions, say, in every round of combat. But, like, in Might and Magic, you make six decisions in every round of combat, right? Like, because there are six, sometimes up to eight people, because you can get hirelings.
Wow.
But... In Might and Magic, you know, it's first person, so it's not... They're really just, like, aspects of yourself. It's like, all right, here's my left nut, which is the paladin, and my my elbow, which is the thief, and my massive rogue... I mean, there's the thief and the rogue.
What do you think about Dragon Age, then?
The... Well, I think that I'm probably going to reach a point at which I... can no longer continue playing it because I am no longer willing to just allow my party members to be completely autonomous.
Just sort I of thought like you would occasionally issue them orders, though.
You can. I don't.
I see.
I find the combat in Dragon Age kind of baffling. Like, it's because it's like you can pause it, right? And so I'm like, all right, well, I've got this area of effect cone spell that I can use to freeze a bunch of enemies, right? And then so I'm like, all right, I better pause the action so that I can tell him where to cast this cone spell. So I'll, like, you know, set it up, hit the button, unpause it, and then he'll run to wherever I told him to go and just cast it at whatever guy he was supposed to cast it at, regardless of where anyone is standing. So it's like, oh, sweet, I just ran around behind the dude and cast the AoE freeze cone on my entire party. Like, so I'm having a little bit of trouble.
You were the wizard that got to cast the spell.
I am the wizard that gets to cast spells. But...
What, you don't control your own actions
you
directly?
You do control your own actions, but if you actually pause to issue orders, they get executed in this sort of, like, real-time thing, like, later. It's
right.
It's frustrating.
Huh.
Like, because stuff is kind of, like, for directional stuff, at least, for stuff that actually matters where people are, when you issue the order, people are paused... Your enemies are paused, and they're not standing where they're going to be by the time your guy actually gets around to casting the spell. Right? So it's like, I don't know. I feel like I could invest some time in getting better at the combat, but, like, I don't know. I don't know what it is that I like about RPGs, because I hate long cutscenes. I get kind of tired of, like, talking to dudes.
Do you like leveling up?
I like leveling up, but I don't like earning experience points.
You do like learning.
I like dealing damage, but I don't like swinging weapons. I like killing skeletons. Maybe what'll happen is maybe somebody designed Dragon Age specifically for me, and like they're going to figure out at what points I'm starting to get bored, and then just let me kill some skeletons, and then I'm going to be like, oh, this game fucking rules. Like Torchlight, you get to kill a skeleton like a couple times a level. You know, like, sometimes you'll break a barrel and there'll be a skeleton inside it.
Yeah, what? Why are there always skeletons
hiding
in barrels?
I mean,
what other monster is going to fold up that tight?
All kinds of... It's bats. Like a monster made out of beer. there could be bats. There could be scorpions.
The whole barrel could be a mimic.
There could be scorpions that were, like, 20 times the size of normal scorpions, and you could still fit, like, 30 of them in a barrel.
Yeah, or it could just be a barrel full of, like, cockroaches that are hungry. That'd be creepy.
Just regular cockroaches. Yeah. that's something that you could put in like somebody's house in real life, and it would freak them out.
Yeah,
doesn't even have to be a dungeon.
It could be a barrel in somebody's house, though. I don't know if you came home and there was a barrel in your kitchen, whether you would just break it.
Yeah, I'm like, oh sweet, let me get my baseball bat.
Yeah,
so that I can break this barrel open. Oh wow. Fuck, it's full of cockroaches.
Holy crap. Can you imagine some kid's birthday party and you make a piñata full of cockroaches?
Oh my god.
Wow!
That would basically
and then you've got the mariachi band, and as soon as somebody actually breaks open the piñata, they start playing as the kids are just fucking screaming and like trying to jump into the pool to try and get the cockroaches. Ah, man, I can't wait to have a bunch of Mexican kids.
I'm gonna be upset if that gives me nightmares.
You're never gonna sleep though, so it's okay. Oh,
no,
Deep Springs.
I stayed up so that I can sleep.
Deep Springs.
Yeah, that's Grunge Rabbit wrote in on the Twitter to fill me in on. See, that is the awesome power of the internet and the fact that we have people who know things and listen to our broadcast. Okay. And he links me to a GQ article, America's 25 Douchiest Colleges. That's number five.
Deputy Dancer said, your description of the dog vomit spooge, etc., reminded me of this, and then links to the wanky shit demon, which is, that's what I was talking about.
Right.
I was talking about that video from Rather Good about the wanky shit demon. You guys, seriously, you gotta watch, during the music break, you gotta watch the video on Riff's blog, because, oh man.
Can you somehow funnel the audio and play it as the music break?
I don't think so, and it wouldn't be funny if it wasn't them talking.
That's true.
We can watch it during the music break. Just ah, man. So good. It has been a long time since I saw something on the internet that, like, made my face hurt from stifling laughter. My eyes were watering.
ASU is the 14th douchiest college.
The 14th douchiest college.
Harvard was number 4.
It is. ASU is pretty douchey.
Huh. This list is weird.
All right, another voicemail.
Hey, Jake and Co. Just listened to some of the old radio shows. I'm Henry Clay Endgame, by the way. Someone sent in a message asking if we could have chainsaws back in 2005, and you said that because it's a fantasy game, it would be an anachronism. Care to explain the guns and such in the kingdom? Love what you guys are doing. Thanks.
See, guns existed long before chainsaws.
Yeah. It's an antique gun.
Yeah.
I mean, just because this is a fantasy world in general doesn't describe, like, when this particular world discovered gunpowder.
Yeah.
True. Oh, that's very true.
You know, and
there's all kinds of, there's plungers.
Combustion engines.
Yeah.
There are plungers.
Yeah.
And there are engines. There is internal combustion. Why are there no chainsaws? Because it would be an anachronism.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's actually because chains haven't been invented.
There's bicycle chains.
There's no such thing as two-stroke meat. Although that was my nickname when I tried out for that Bukkake film.
This was the best possible link to the school that I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
25.
I didn't realize that GQ was all edgy like that.
I don't know. I don't know anything about GQ.
All right, another voicemail.
Make the luggage familiar. I demand of you.
All right. No, because...
The luggage dog familiar?
No, just the luggage familiar.
Oh.
It's some Terry Pratchett reference, and I don't like Terry Pratchett. I know it's not okay for me to say I don't like Terry Pratchett because he's all about to die and shit.
That's not the only reason that's not okay.
It's because his books are awesome. You're not allowed to not
you,
like them.
You like puns just as much as the next guy.
Okay. Yeah, no, fine. The only Terry Pratchett that I've ever read is Good Omens, and it
was
just
half
very
him,
good.
Half Neil Gaiman.
I know, it just wasn't Gaiman. Very good. It was like,
wait, you didn't like Good Omens?
No.
Wow, dude. you are just wrong. Sometimes
you should read Night Watch. That's one of the better ones.
All right,
it's got time travel in it.
Oh, well, is it like? I feel like I can't. I feel like Terry Pratchett has written a series of 400 books, and what everybody says, well, the first 140. Are kind of shitty. And so, like, I don't want to be involved in that. You know?
Watched Buffy, even though I said, yeah, the first season, not so good. And you're
the
like,
first season was still okay, and it only was...
It was half a season, too.
So. Right, so it was, like, what, 6 hours of my life? 12 hours of my life?
Something like that.
As opposed to the amount of time that it would take me to read a single horrible Terry Pratchett novel.
No, they're 12 hours. I mean... Okay. I almost never go through a Terry Pratchett novel in more than 2 sittings.
All right.
But you can also sit for 30 hours.
Well, yes.
That's true.
I'm very good at sitting. In fact, I was planning on entering the Olympics.
Sitting Olympics?
Yeah. Sit for my country.
Do you sit on babies?
Yeah, what would you sit on if you could sit for 30 hours?
Do I get to pick anything I want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
A giant bag of $1,000 bills.
Yeah.
That I get to keep afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A giant bag of marshmallows.
H.P. Lovecraft?
Just kneeling on the ground?
Yeah.
Why is it that you have this like three-way fantasy with H.P. Lovecraft?
I don't. I don't. It is
okay.
That...
Whatever.
Somebody asked if there was any possible third that would make it so I would consider having a threesome with Riff, and I said, well, I guess H.P. Lovecraft, because it meant I'd get to hang out with H.P. Lovecraft for, I mean, I don't know. Given my nickname, Two-Stroke Meat, I'm guessing I would get to talk to H.P. Lovecraft for as long as it took Riff to finish. I don't really know how long this tryst lasts, right?
Oh.
Like, so...
Wow, okay, I was spelling your nickname T-O, not T-W-O.
Oh.
Yeah, two
no,
different...
because the joke was two-stroke, like...
I know.
Like the two-stroke...
I know, but I was...
that chainsaws run on, you know?
I know,
like,
I know, but I was just... because it was already kind of a...
So it's like a book. The aliens come down and they have... a book called To Stroke Meat. And then...
oh my god, it's a cookbook.
Yeah. what?
Well, you know, it's important to, like, tenderize, right?
Yeah. All right, another voicemail.
Hi, this is Maylov. I was just wondering, and I apologize for talking about Christmas this early. What smell... absolutely, without a doubt, reminds you of Christmas. All right, bye. Thanks.
I would say that the smell in the last 5 years that reminds me the most of Christmas is the smell of disappointment.
God.
Wow.
I'm trying to think, like, I don't know that I could put a definitive name to it, but, like, my mom would not burn potpourri, but, like,
potpourri.
She had these like things that were like heaters that you'd put some like water in and then like a potpourri mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it would like release the oils that were in the potpourri. Or, I don't know. But like she would always sort of get those going a lot around the holidays. And I don't know if there's a definitive name for that smell.
My parents had this string of... You know, my mom probably still has this, and I'm sure
garlic.
They're super dangerous. They were...
accidents?
This kind of Christmas lights, I feel like they got popular in probably the 50s or maybe the 60s, I want to say.
Huh.
They were... It was a bulb inside a plastic housing, and then there was like a glass sort of ampule above it with like an orange liquid in it.
Oh, yeah.
That would
like
boil.
Boiling oil candles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were just like, when I was a kid, they were just referred to as bubble lights, right? Like that's what they were. I don't know if they had a name. And maybe the 50s is off on that. I feel like it was that kind of thing. But like,
huh?
Yeah, I don't know. That so those generating a lot of heat near a Christmas tree create a smell that is, in my mind, what reminds me of Christmas, like, as a kid. I used to, like, spend a lot of time, like, lying underneath the Christmas tree during Christmas.
Really? Did you have a real tree?
Yeah, we always had real trees.
I've never had a real tree. We've always had fake trees.
I wonder, I'm going to my mom's for Christmas this year, and I wonder if she's going to get a real tree.
Somebody was telling me that, like, most trees that you buy, like, in cities have been transported so far and are so dry that they are basically impossible to like
water
hydrate
enough to
hydrate
them, yeah.
Yeah, and if you actually go cut it your own tree, it's so fresh and you know like sort of normal or whatever that you can just like sort of put it in water and have it respond well and not drop like any needles before you know, New Year's or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, I've had pretty good luck here. I feel like it's probably... there are pine forests a couple hours drive from here, right?
But so, they don't come from there. I feel like they come from hundreds of miles away.
You think?
Thousands of miles away, maybe.
Yeah, they come from specific Christmas tree farms.
Not necessarily.
What I'm wondering,
I feel like
though,
a mom-and-pop Christmas tree lot here may well have just gotten a
what
license.
What he was talking about was here. And like
here in
they,
Phoenix.
Yeah, and that they come from the Northeast.
Huh.
But I wonder if Christmas trees are kind of like like roses. If you get a bunch of roses, you know, if you cut off like half an inch of the stem when you get them, the I guess the xylem maybe it gets clogged at the base.
Yeah. So,
if you cut off a little bit and then stick it in water, I wonder if you could do the same thing with a tree. If you got a tree and then cut off.
They do when you buy it.
Oh, have you, do they?
Yeah. They always have a little chainsaw and they cut off like an inch off the bottom of it right before you put it in your car so that it will draw more water up.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. I did not know that.
And I guess maybe not every place does that, but the places. I bought one tree at Target and then one tree at a lot.
Target?
Yeah, well, because I drove down to the Christmas tree lot, and they're like those fucking things that are never in the same place one year or another. So I drove around for a while, and I didn't see another one. And then I was like, it's getting late. I guess I should just go to Target to get my Christmas tree.
And they had one?
They sell a lot of Christmas trees. Anywhere that has a garden center, they sell live Christmas trees.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What smell reminds you of Christmas, Riff?
Probably crab.
Crab?
Yeah, my grandparents live on the Crisfield Bay, and my mother's father was a crab fisherman.
It's too bad they don't live on the Chrisagrim Bay.
Yeah, and then that bay would be the best sword in the game.
Mm-hmm. But it would take for fucking ever to get there.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to drive up hundreds and hundreds of roads until one finally leads there.
What is it? Why does Maryland have such strong connections to crabs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a friend of mine is from Maryland, and she's always talking about the crab cakes. Actually, I went there with her.
Well, I mean, it's a big crab-producing area.
Every time you meet a prostitute from Maryland, it's like she kind of smells like that shampoo they give you to cure crabs.
Hello, my name's Neil, otherwise on the AOL Me288. I wanted to ask Jake if he could make maybe a storyline where the Mafia penguins are getting rid of the radiation in the sea and mutating the local sea life. Thank you, and have a good day. Goodbye.
He's actually spoiled. This Crimbo is all underwater. God, imagine how much people would hate us.
And love us.
If we did that.
No, just hate. Yeah. You're right.
It's a cool idea. We gotta eventually do something with the Grim Grimacite site.
I like the idea of dumping the...
Yeah, dumping the toxic waste into the ocean. Yeah, this is pretty clever.
That's cool.
One more, and then we'll take our break.
I just wanted to know, when are you rolling out the new Nemesis quest? Because it's taking you all forever. You all seem like lazy bastards.
Gonna be.
Yeah, Riff said before I turned the mics back on, 1 week later than it was going to be before you sent that voicemail.
We're not just lazy bastards. We're also slow lazy bastards.
Yeah. Are we doing it the second thing after Christmas?
First thing after Christmas.
Yep. Okay.
Which means early January.
It honestly really is all but done at this point.
Yeah.
There's some major bits.
There's some bits. I still have to do a lot of friggin' combat text.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a couple of mechanics to figure out, and then some things to do. A lot of numbers to make. Some art
Maybe
to draw.
Maybe we should put the other thing out first.
No. it's got more stuff than this to do.
Yeah.
Alright, well, we're going to take a music break, and I'll see you when that music break is over.
You know what's going to be awesome, though? Is we got to get the Traveling Trader out 6 times before the end of the year.
Do we?
We said we'd do it 5 or 6 times this year. We didn't do it any. Alright, music!
from my slumber to misunderstand another. Though they call it terra firma, it dissolves beneath my feet. Picking through a pile of garbage for some worthless piece of paper. It's been hidden there for me to give meaning to my day. I have seen the information on the lighter side of dumbness. I have heard the new statistics and the stomping on the ground. Picking slowly up the rock slide, one thing always seems apparent. If the climb becomes too much, I can always turn around. Going down to the desert, to that dirty, filthy desert. I'll be crawling through the sand for at least a couple days. Going down to the desert, there are things there worth avoiding. And it always makes me cross when them things get in my way. I have seen the information on the lighter side of dumbness. I have heard the new statistics and the stomping on the ground. Picking slowly up the rock slide, one thing always seems apparent. If the climb becomes too much, I can always turn around. Coming down from the mountain, I have seen the high and mighty. I will go again someday, but for now I'm coming down. Coming down from the mountain, I have seen a lot of glory. I will go again someday, but for now I'm coming down. Someday, but for now I'm coming down from the mountain. I have seen the lofty glory. I will go again someday, but for now I'm coming down.
No, I don't care. I mean, hey, I got Penny. There comes a time in every girl's life when she's really got to ask herself. Sometimes she's got to ask herself, is she steady? To be honest, steady? I mean, do you really want to be Johnny's steady?
Prolonging the situation only makes it worse. Tell him honestly, simply, kindly, but firmly. Don't make a big production. Don't make up an elaborate story. This will help you avoid a big tear-jerking scene. If you want to date other people, say so. Be prepared for the boy to feel hurt and rejected. Even if you've gone together for only a short time and haven't been too serious, there's still a feeling of rejection when someone says she prefers the company of others to your exclusive company. But if you're honest and direct and avoid making a flowery emotional speech when you break the news, the boy will respect you for your frankness, and honestly, he'll appreciate the kind, straightforward manner in which you told him your decision. Unless he's a real jerk or a crybaby, you'll remain friends. Thing there is. If you want to catch the biggest fish in your pond, you have to be as attractive as possible. Make sure to keep your hair spotlessly clean. Wash it at least every 2 weeks. Once every 2 weeks. And if you see Johnny Football Hero in the hall, tell him he played a great game. Tell him you liked his article in the newspaper.
I'm the party star.
I propose we support a 1 month limit on going steady. I think it would keep people more able to deal with weird situations and get to know more people. I think if you're ready to go out with Johnny, now's the time to tell him about your 1 month limit. He won't mind, he'll appreciate your fresh look on dating. And once you've dated someone else, you can date him again. I'm sure he'll like it, everyone will appreciate it. You're so novel, what a good idea. You can keep your time to yourself, you don't need date insurance. You can go out with whoever you want to. Every boy in the whole world could be yours if you'll just listen to my plan, the teenage guide to popularity.
I'm never class, I'm popular, I'm quarterback, I'm popular, my mom says I'm a catch, I'm popular, I'm never last pick, I'm a cheerleading chick, I'm the party star.
Hey, we're back, except for Hot Stuff, who's fucking around somewhere in the office. Hot Stuff! We're back on the radio! Riff, you're terrible at wrangling Hot Stuff.
I didn't put any skill points in wrangle.
Ziggy Zagnut asked if we ever played a card game called Killer Bunnies. Have you ever played that?
No.
It seems
vaguely familiar with it, but I don't think I ever actually played.
There are all those card games that seem like they were trying to capitalize on the popularity of Munchkin, and I just kind of didn't care.
Yeah.
You know what card game was kind of cool? Was Gloom.
Yeah, that one's interesting. I've never actually played that, but it looks cool. It's got that novel feature.
Yeah, the see-through cards.
Yeah.
And it's got that whole Edward Gorey kind of gaming.
Yeah.
Swap says, please make it so new accounts cannot open the advent calendar for days that they didn't exist. Multis farm job bruisers. Yeah, so here's a problem that we face all the time when we're developing content, right? Yes, it is true that allowing the advent calendar to work the way that it does makes it so somebody can create a multi now and get a bunch of job bruisers, right? But it also makes it so somebody can legitimately create an account now and have a pile of cool stuff, you know, and, like, maybe have a little bit of luck in getting a foothold in the economy if they're shrewd with it. And so I feel like, you know, it's one of those things, like, the death penalty is bad if a single person gets executed wrongly, right? Like, that kind of thing, right? I feel like as long as there is a single person who is made happier by it
death
working
penalty.
The way that it does now, then it's worth dealing with multi-abuse. Because, you know, yeah. part of our job is to stop multi-abuse from happening.
Yeah, and I gotta imagine
Mike's Hard Lemonade?
When yeah. number six sees that kind of thing going on, that's just a great big red flashing light.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do specific tracking for Crimbo stuff, and I mean, you know, clearly we're not going to catch everything, but we're going to catch a lot. I guarantee you we're going to catch more than we did last year. So, you know, we've got your number, multi-abusers. And so, you know, like...
And your number is 12.
To a certain extent, we're always going to have problems with multis, and so we can make the game suck for everybody so that it is less abusable, or we can just make a good game, deal with the fact that we're going to have some abuse, and make sure that we try and keep the economy robust enough to deal with it, and that we try and track down, you know, track it down when it happens and nail yeah. people. So, and you know, I would rather the game err on the side of the one guy who's going to enjoy it more because we do something that, like, you know, apart from the fact that the world is full of assholes, there's no reason that we shouldn't do this, right? And so, you know, I'm just going to live in a world that's not full of assholes and deal with the fallout. Grimdell says, will the Yetis break our kneecaps for helping Don Crimbo? Probably.
I mean, I think everybody's going to break everybody's kneecaps eventually.
Yeah, it's going to be cool when it turns out that, like, people are going to be excited when they find out that, you know, we say, this is not all there is to the Crimbo content, because what there is a reopening of the back room of Uncle P's.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing for Crimbo. RDFM says, hey guys, I finally saw that famous episode of Leave It to Beaver where June Cleaver says, hey Ward, you totally pounded the bejesus out of my vagina last night. You can tell it was on purpose, too. Seems tame by today's standards, but at the time it was considered quite racy. Love the show. All right, so I'm assuming that everyone listening to the sound of my voice watched the Happy in Paraguay video. And, you know, here's the thing. When I watched that the first time, I was sort of mad at myself for thinking that it was as funny as it was. I was a little bit, like, I always get a little bit ashamed when I think that something is super, super funny because I, like, kind of like embarrassing moments in my life when I, like, got the giggles at an inopportune time because I thought something was really funny. And, like, so when I...
Like 9/11.
Yeah. Damn, dude.
Your life, man.
9/11 Jenga. Yeah, so I was watching that and I'm like, you know... This is just random. It shouldn't be this funny. It is funny because it is random, and that makes it kind of cheap. But they did a good job.
I don't get why it was so amusing, to be honest. But it was. It was definitely amusing. But, like...
But it was like a cheap shot. It was, like, it was amusing in the same way that, like, you know, sucker punching somebody is a good way to knock them down, you know?
I mean, you know, our bazooka Joe... Bazooka fish Joe...
Yeah. Bazooka chick... Fick... Chick... Fuck...
Gum... Gum... Rapper... Things.
Gum drum... Ba... Ba... Ba...
Ba... Ba...
Ba... Ba... Ba... Ba... Chalky Candy says, where have all the good men gone, and where are all the gods? It's like a song or something. Frenchhorn 63 says, what goes on in the radio show? Nothing worthwhile.
Yeah, we don't... Nothing? Yeah. We need to do something more exciting.
TT Boy RD says, would you be willing to consider a shirt with the plus item increase over the Grateful Undead shirt similar to the plus meat increase the duct tape shirt has over the ye olde navy fleece? We don't need anything too powerful, just a little bit better than 5%. A Bounty Hunter cape / breastplate / lanyard or cling film shirt might fit. We kind of got to be careful with plus items.
Eventually,
there will be a plus item shirt. Maybe it'll be a clan dungeon thing. Plus items is a big deal, right? Plus items is probably the most important enchantment in the game.
Depends on your focus, but it's definitely up there.
I mean, the one enchantment that randomly replaces words with porn,
right?
That will eventually become the most important enchantment in the game once enough of it happens that you can actually just play KOL by reading porn.
Because
it's like a percentage, right? It, like, the way the enchantment works is it's like plus 5% porn, and so like 5% of the words are replaced with pornographic images.
Do you mean play porn by porn?
And there's one porn? For every word. So, eventually you'll be able to read, because each pornographic image represents a word.
Yeah.
So, oh, like,
replaces it with a porn image.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not just the word porn. So yeah, once you get 100% plus 100% porn, every encounter in the game is just, porn, promlicket.
Yep. From Middlesex High School in Bangkok. It just didn't stop.
What's that? What's that? That public radio guy, a bumjad. Rod a bumjad,
mad
a bumjad, dab. Yeah, I don't know. Every time I hear that guy's name, I think about soda porn promlicate. Sanger says, here's a question. Why does KOL always bash fruitcake? It's delicious. I know, right?
Jick's all about making fruitcake this season.
Every time I go to the grocery store, I see those containers of, like, candied fruit cubes, and I'm like, man, I need to learn to make fucking fruitcake, because I love fruitcake.
You know how to read? You can make a fruitcake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's that easy.
In fact, just read this. Sweet, a fruitcake.
But I mean, seriously, like, you know how to read. You know how to, like, type in fruitcake recipe to the search engine of your
but
choice.
But I feel like a fruitcake.
And then you feel like a fruitcake.
Okay. You look like a fruitcake.
I feel like a fruitcake is not something that a person can make. I feel like it has to be made by a machine. No, okay, so I'm sure I could find
a fruitcake. So you don't know how to build a fruitcake making machine?
I'm sure that, yeah, so I need to find plans to make a fruitcaker out of Legos. That's what I've decided the machine is called. It's a fruitcaker.
We could have a party, it'd be a fruit kegger.
Yeah. We can make lemon cake at the next lemon party.
Ooh,
lemon cake. Yeah. Yeah.
I never got into fruitcake because it's always fruit and nut cake.
Yeah, no, I would make it without nuts. Every once in a while there would be one without nuts. And, like, it's just so fucking good. If you get, like, just a slice of it and it's, like, chewy and it's just not like anything else, it's, like, there's nothing like it. It is, in fact, so not like anything else that there is literally nothing like it except another fruitcake. And another fruitcake? Yes, please. Don't mind if I do. Like, candied fruit is awesome. Okay. Man, you know it was good.
What?
You know it was good. Those Brock's candies. Riff, this is where you and I are going to part ways here.
What's that?
Those Brock's candies. I forget what they were called. But they were basically, like, fruit-flavored gelatin globs pressed into, like, cubes of nougat.
Pressed into cubes of nougat.
Yeah, they looked like... They looked like Holsteins,
they're
except...
kind of...
with
pink
colors.
And fleshy. Did they have, like, almond shards in
them? No, you're thinking of something else. There's one very similar. I think there's a similar kind of candy. But you know how you would... There would always be the, like, Brock's bulk candy thing? I don't know if that exists anymore.
I mean, that sounds a lot like Turkish Delight.
At a grocery store.
But without the nougat.
Well, but it's just... I feel like Turkish Delight is, like...
It's just the gelatin kind of stuff.
But Turkish Delight is more marshmallowy.
Yeah.
This was like little slices of... Like little globs of the material that you'd make gummy bears out of, right? That just, like, brightly colored fruit flavored gelatin,
right?
Suspended in nougat, and you could kind of take it apart.
I don't think I've ever seen this.
Yeah, you have.
Because
you know how you know how you could buy bulk Brock's candy.
No,
really? Yes, you do. Like that.
Why
don't
I? Why do you
cinnamon discs? Because every grocery store had these when we were a kid.
Yeah, but I didn't. My mom never bought these. Like,
but did you ever go to a grocery store? Did you not, like, look at candy?
No.
What?
What?
No, seriously, no. I
don't
know.
What kind of kid were you?
He wasn't allowed to go outside without the metal bucket over his head.
Yeah.
Hmm. You weren't allowed to go outside with the KFC bucket over your head.
I thought you were going to start talking about whorehound candy and how awesome it was or something.
I kind of like whorehound candy.
I just like saying whorehound.
Yeah. I was a real whorehound back in college.
What you even know. Is whorehound candy? What is that?
It's like super old school candy.
Whorehound is a plant, I think.
Is it? It's like it's been around for like 100, 200 years,
is it
something like that.
Anise or something.
It tastes weird. It's really sweet though.
It's kind of spicy. It's kind of spicy.
Kind of flavored. Yeah, I don't know. The only time I've ever had it was in Salt Lake City. Actually, we went to like some Mormon sort of landmark thing, and they had whorehound candy that you could just have.
So Wikipedia doesn't even in whorehound it doesn't even mention the candy.
Huh. That's weird.
White whorehound or common whorehound. It's just like it's like a flower. Yeah.
Huh. Wikipedia is weird
candy.
Sometimes. Wikipedia search engine is perhaps the worst search engine ever made.
Yeah.
Because you can type in the name of an article and
it
will not
find
it. Yeah,
and it just doesn't find it. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. Yeah. Whorehound for candy is best made from the fresh plant by boiling it down until the juice is extracted, then adding sugar before boiling again until it becomes thick enough in consistency to pour into a paper case to be cut into squares when cool. Whenever my grandma would buy whorehound candy, it looked like pills. The shape of the candies were like these weird lozenges that looked like medicine. Huh. And then it kind of tastes like medicine.
Yeah, they kind of do. Like that cough medicine kind of.
But
thing.
It's, you know, it's like spice drops. Like if you get old school gum drops that are now. Like, I feel like what was sold as gumdrops when our grandmas were children are now sold as spice drops.
I don't think
so. They're weird. They don't taste like, you know, they're not like dots, right? Which is kind of what you think of. Like
that's what I think of when I think of gumdrops.
Yeah, like dots, except with the sugar all around the outside.
Yeah, except they are, except that they do not taste like maybe there's a cinnamon one, but then one of them will taste like clove. Right, okay. And like they're not like, you know, maybe there were some fruit ones, but I feel like in general they had like just weird kind of flavors that like predate artificial flavorings, I think is the deal. But like,
yeah, artificial flavoring has changed the way that people eat, I think.
Artificial flavoring kind of rules.
We were talking the other day about how awesome Red Dye 40 is.
There's apparently a Fast Food Nation movie which I didn't know about, and somebody goes to New Jersey and like goes to one of the flavor factories and sort of gets to sample all the different flavors that are being manufactured.
I feel like artificial peach flavoring is one of my favorite tastes.
Oh yeah,
isn't
those
there
gummy
like a
peach rings?
Oh god, those are so good and
so.
Aren't there like Jolly Ranchers?
Yeah, peach Jolly Ranchers are just like fucking.
I've seen those.
Fucking solidified bliss.
Huh.
I like watermelon a lot too. I like the fake watermelon.
I like the green,
it doesn't taste
green,
a goddamn
green,
thing
green
like watermelon. Apple. It's weird.
I've never had a watermelon that tasted anything like the candy.
Yeah. Except for that one time that you had a watermelon that was actually covered in molten watermelon Jolly Ranchers.
I say that because I have had like artificial flavors, like artificial grape flavor, which I was like, this doesn't taste anything like any grape I've ever had. And then I actually had some grapes.
Yeah, those Concord grapes. It's a very specific grape that's based on.
You don't buy them generally, but it's like a kind of grape that that is kind of, you know, you're like, wow, yeah, this. I mean, partially because we've been kind of trained to think, wow, this is what grape tastes like.
You know what I realized a while back, and then again just now? When I was a kid, I ate watermelon with salt on it.
Huh. I eat green apples with salt sometimes.
Huh.
My mom used to do that a lot.
I eat apples. The only time that I ever want to eat an apple is with peanut butter. Like, I don't really like just eating an apple, and I don't like peanut butter.
Do you put raisins on it?
No.
It's like a...
That's funny, though.
Bugs on it. Rock.
Yeah, bugs on an apple slice.
Stone.
Man, you know, I kind of want to do that some more, because I, like, as an adult, I can do whatever I want, and what I wanted to do that one day was to make bugs on a log that was an entire fucking stalk of celery.
Yep.
My grandma made bugs on a log that were, like, fucking 3 inches long, and fuck that shit. This is not your grandma's bugs on a log. These are not your grandmother's bugs on logs. These are not your grandmother's bug on logs. Lord Finisher says, to Jick and Scully, when do we get to murder some penguins? Lord Finisher, soon enough. Soon enough.
Wow, that's weird. I had loaded the at ASIM thing, on our Twitter feed,
mm-hmm.
and I just reloaded it,
and one went away.
The most recent one went away.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. Because you can't delete a post from Twitter, I don't think, on your own. You can't edit a post.
I wonder if you delete the account if they go away.
Huh. Can you delete an account?
I don't know.
Pyrosock says, hey, great Crimbo so far, but you keep saying this Crimbo isn't going to be as good as previous years. Is this really true? It's always true.
Yeah, you know, this is either going to go down as a great Crimbo or a terrible Crimbo, depending on how you interpret.
Dev is a little worried that it's going to be terrible because they've only seen the part that Hot Stuff and I have worked on, and they haven't seen Scully's part yet. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm beginning to think that we hate the players and want their lives to be ruined. No, I'm really not. What I feel like is that there are ideas about what gameplay should be like, and Hot Stuff tends to come up with things that are at one extreme of that, and Scully tends to come up with things that are at the other extreme of that. Not in Scully's case, not because of a particular philosophical decision, but because he is just like, ah, this would be cool, and he writes out this idea that would be cool without necessarily like considering all of the mechanical implications of it, right? Whereas when Hot Stuff works on stuff, he is like frequently just consider, I'm not going to say just considering the mechanical implications, but you sometimes lose sight, I feel, of the, all right, this needs to be a thing where as soon as somebody starts, they see something awesome, and then something happens that they're like, awesome! And then later on, something else happens that's also awesome.
I'm a lot more big picture. Right. Like, I'm a lot more like, you get to the end and you look back and you're like, wow.
Yeah. And so, like, my job, I think, is to synthesize all of this stuff and basically to make everyone unhappy. Like, my job is to find the compromise that leaves everyone working for me equally unsatisfied with the end result of their creative efforts. So yeah, you know, any failure in this year's Crimbo, you can blame on me, and any successes, it's probably Jesus.
Yeah, well, I mean, without Jesus, there would be no Crimbo.
It's true. Arundel Val Estar says, hi guys, I was wondering how feasible it would be to add more joke griefing items such as the jaw bruisers. I think that the reason that the jaw bruisers are popular is because it's been a long time since we did a curse item, and it's been forever since we did a curse item that was as obnoxious. If we did stuff like this all the time,
it's also limited in supply.
Yeah.
Which makes it sort of like something that you can't just willy-nilly, you know, throw 1,000 of them in a day, because nobody can afford that, you know?
Ooh, Caveat says you can get Whorehound candy at the Cracker Barrel.
Fucking Cracker Barrel, man.
Oh, somebody says they tried to leave a voicemail, but it was busy.
Cool.
Weird.
I do not like Cracker Barrel in general.
Really?
I feel like the food there
I thought you had never been to...
Oh, I had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went a couple times.
I made you go on the road trip.
Several times.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Several?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe twice.
At least two. I was thinking two or three.
But two and or three is not several.
Three is several.
Two or three is a couple. Three is a couple.
Two is a couple. Three is several. Anyway, I'm pretty sure we went at least three times. And, like, you know, I ate some food. It wasn't that bad, but, like, the food that they do serve is, like, super greasy and just, I mean, I guess it's, like, very country, right? But, like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I grew up on that stuff, right?
I very much didn't. Like, I don't know. The food I grew up on is weird because, like, my mom just... She did not cook a lot of things. And, like, there were, I would say, 50% of nights I had things like...
Hormel chili
from a can. Ramen noodles. Or mac and cheese, like things that like I would make as a college student,
right?
Like,
well, she was trying to get ready for college at.
She did a really good
douchey spring,
really good job.
Douche Springs,
deep,
douchey Springs,
Deep Springs, douche college
deep
number five,
douching.
Yeah.
Peanut Walrus says, any advice for high school other than fuck as many chicks as possible? No,
like,
not really.
Well, I mean,
what
like,
more
what
do
a,
you need?
What kind of general advice do people want for like? We need more specific questions, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, meet some people
high school,
to play tabletop role-playing games with.
Find people that Although that runs sort of like you do. Like,
playing
that's
tabletop
thing.
Role-playing games definitely runs counter to the fuck as many chicks as possible.
But, like, finding a social circle makes high school so much more tolerable. Like, I got to high school and didn't know anyone. And
yeah, I didn't really have a social circle until senior year.
Oh, see, I was like, halfway through my freshman year, I found a social circle, and it changed high school entirely for me from, like, this really depressing thing that I just was really sad to go to every day to something that I kind of looked forward to.
I did not find a social circle that I fit into terribly well in high school.
And that's it. I don't know that everybody's... I don't know that there is...
I don't know that it's possible. You know, I mean, I met Scully, and he and I were close and definitely, like, got each other. And, you know, it's like, I definitely was like, I have a lifelong friend in this guy, you know. And so that was great, you know. And he also lived next door to me, which was weird. Because we met before we realized that.
That is weird.
But yeah, like, I mean, the like... sort of nerd crowd. I was a little too nerdy for the nerd crowd at my high school.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah, it was weird.
How's that even possible?
I was super obnoxious in high school. I was really, like, I feel like I'm super glad that I don't have any, like, videotape of me in high school, because I would just, if I watched some of that now, I would just be, like, wincing with, like, a knot in my stomach for the rest of my life.
I feel like, okay, so a lot of the people that are asking questions like this, I feel like it is entirely possible that just like me and just like Jick in high school, you were somebody who probably offered their opinion way too readily in situations or whatever, and was just kind of obnoxious at times, right?
Right.
The skill of being able to shut up and just sort of listen, and then, like, being able to interject something funny or meaningful or witty or whatever at an opportune moment is a really valuable skill. And if you could learn that early, you will, like, impress people. You will make, like, people will come up to you and want to be your friend because if you're quiet and you don't, like, really make an impression, then you have the opportunity to, the first time you really make an impression, to have it be a really, like, powerful, positive one. So that's something that I feel like I didn't learn until college.
Getting over social awkwardness is, like, the best thing that you will ever do.
Yeah, and it's...
Right.
I don't know how you can consciously do it.
I mean, you know, not to be a dick, but, like, I have a feeling that probably among our listeners there are several hundred people who are incredibly socially awkward and don't know that they are incredibly socially awkward.
I didn't know in high school that I was socially
awkward. Yeah, I didn't either,
awkward.
Really. You know, I mean...
And I totally, totally was.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like I can kind of understand now, looking back, why people... like, why normal people, you know, not other, like, nerds, right? But, like, why normal people didn't react well to me. Like, why the jocks made fun of me.
Yeah.
Right? Because there were other people who probably liked computers and video games and Dungeons & Dragons just as much as I did that didn't constantly get made fun of because they didn't interact with people in a way that, like, set them up in that role. Right, and it's not like getting over social awkwardness is not selling out, you know, in a way that you might think it is when you're in high school. Oh, God damn it, I tell the truth all the time. That's just who I am because honesty is important. You know,
yeah,
fuck
know.
You, dude.
That's called, like, being an asshole.
Yeah, like if you are the kind of person that is saying, yes, I'm going to tell the truth all the time because I'm very honest and honesty is important to me, like, yeah, you are just a dick. And that sucks, you know? Yeah. I mean, you can live that life by not lying to people, right? You don't have to lie. Most people lie all the time, but you don't have to, right? But just, you don't need to tell people about all of their problems, because you're not going to help them, because they're just going to get pissed off at you, you know? Like,
they're not going to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, it's, you know... If somebody, like, you know, is making really terrible decisions with their life, you know, if you're not, like, their mom... or, like, their boyfriend, don't tell them, because it's not going to matter, you know? Like, you're not... It's not appropriate. Whole propriety thing, man.
Yeah. It's, you know... There are probably a bunch of people that are not having this problem, but also still hate high school, and I don't know in what way to help those people.
I mean, one thing that, you know, one important piece of advice, I think, for people in high school is, if you're having a bad time in high school, it is going to get better in college. Like,
It can get better. I wouldn't want to promise that to anybody.
It doesn't. I guess it doesn't necessarily have to, but it can. I mean, I definitely like figured shit out when I got to college.
Yeah.
Right.
There's definitely an opportunity to reboot and figure stuff out, but I don't know that everybody does that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess a lot of people don't. I mean, you know, like there's a lot of incredibly socially awkward people like in their 30s that we see when we go to the mystery hunt. Like, and it's like, you know, these are people. Part of it, I mean, I feel like if you start getting laid despite your social awkwardness, then that's gonna create a weird situation, right?
Because that was one of the things I was thinking about in terms of the small versus large. Like if you're kind of a nerd, going to a small nerdy school might be better than going to a large state party school, right? Because you'll be more likely to have a bunch of people that are sort of more similar to you, you know. It depends on what you can get into.
But is that necessarily a good thing for you, right?
Maybe.
I mean, I feel like the thing about college that made it work for me is that I did hang out with some nerds, right? I had like a couple friends that I went there with. But mostly what I did was hang out with the people that were like in the dorm that I lived in who were just people from all walks of life, right? There were a bunch of hippies, there were a bunch of frat boys, there were a bunch of like, you know, just like, you know, a couple stoners. There were some older dudes that were still living there. There was like this Austrian exchange student in his 30s, you know, like, and every one of those people was worth talking to and hanging out with, you know, and like, I was super like anti-drinking when I wasn't super anti-drinking, but I just wasn't really into it. As soon as I started drinking, I started actually like loosening up and talking to people and like just kind of learned how people are to some extent and like how to get along with them.
That might actually be something that I would potentially recommend. Like, I didn't start drinking until very late. And I think if I'd been willing to drink in high school, that might have helped social interactions somewhat. Because I think it just does. Like, if you learn how to drink to the point where you don't get, like, super drunk and, like, especially not sick or whatever, but just to the point where it sort of lubricates social interactions.
Yeah. But also, I mean, just being around other people who are a little bit drunk is also, it makes you a lot less likely to embarrass yourself. Or if you embarrass yourself, you just make a joke about it. You say, oh, God, I'm drunk. You know, like, and it's, yeah. You know, it seems like a joke when I talk about how important it is to get laid and how important it is to get drunk. But, like, those two things are actually really important, like, to the human experience.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it's like, it's weird to, like, just flat out say it that way, but I think there's definitely some merit to what you're saying, at least sort of in terms of, a zeitgeist kind of...
Where we are now in our society, right? Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to drink to have a good time.
Right.
But, I mean, it helps. Like, people who are just like, I don't drink. You know, people who just don't drink. People like, you know, Nightmare. Never had a drink of alcohol. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with him. He doesn't need it for a lot of the reasons that a lot of people need it, right? Not even need it, but I mean, he can do stuff that most people can't do without something getting them a little bit out of their heads, right?
Social hangers,
right? Yeah, he's not as inhibited as a lot of people are, but like you just miss out on a facet of experience, you know. And it's not like, you know, certainly not everybody should drink the way that I do, but like, you know, just go to a party, have a couple fucking beers, you know, like you'll have fun.
Yeah.
So that's high school. advice for high school.
See, now we're going to go to jail for encouraging minors to drink.
Mm-hmm.
We live in an awesome country.
That's true. Fred Levi says, oh man, did you see where those people got like fined for selling milk from a cow that they had in their yard?
I did not see where.
It was like, I forget what it was.
People got fined.
So that was basically like, if you have a cow, you can't give anybody else your milk.
Because it's not pasteurized or something?
Something, yeah. It doesn't... It's not up to code.
You can't slaughter your own cow.
Really?
If you're going to try to sell it, yeah. Hmm. You can kill your own chickens, but you can't kill your own cows.
You can kill your own chickens still?
Yeah.
If you have chickens, are you allowed to give eggs to people? Are you allowed to sell them?
I don't know.
When I was a kid, we used to go to the egg lady. She was the egg lady.
She just carried eggs.
She was a woman. She lived at a house. So far I've narrowed it down to about half of the people in the country. No, she was just this old woman who lived on a farm, like in a farmhouse, and we would go there like once a week, and my mom would buy like a dozen eggs for her, and she would make me Kool-Aid usually.
Weird.
You know, and mom would sit and talk to her for a few minutes, and I'd like, you know, just buy some eggs, and you know, it's like, and she was the egg lady. I have no idea what her name was.
Huh.
Yeah, that was just a weird thing about farm country, right? And it was cheaper than going to the grocery store and buying eggs, right? And
that's weird.
Eggs.
It's weird that you can like give an animal some food, and they will shit some stuff out that you can then sell
or eat.
Yeah.
Or, no. I was going to make a gross joke, but I didn't actually think of it. Farchild says, love me tender or don't love me at all. Love me legal tender is more like it. Am I right? Not saying I'm a gold digger, but love me legal tender.
It's kind of funny.
Love me statutory. Statutory love. That'd be a good name for a song. Statutory love.
You are jumping all over the...
Kingdom Sora says, fishy fish, casserole, and lasagna all have fishy in the name. It makes sense for them to give at least a few turns of fishy. Might even motivate people to venture in the sea. Nah. No. Texmurf says, all the outfits have effects? I think you're lying to us. To me. It seems only Moxious Gas's limerick made it into the dungeon. What about first and second place? You know, I did not realize that Scully had put the third one in already. I had to draw new artwork for the first and second place winners, and I don't know. And then after I did it, I was like, eh, I should wait and not do this on the same day that we rolled out the Crimbo thing. Like, I should do it later when there needs to, you know,
oh, yeah.
Like, it's a slow news day or whatever. And forgot to do it, but then it turns out that one of them was in there.
Huh.
Already. So, whatever on that. Sterling Guinealot says, call me crazy, but I miss not having to equip the Smurf for the Naughty Sorceress. Seems to me it should at least require a combat use. While I'm at it, it'd be cool to make the Dungeons of Doom wand combat usable to polymorph monsters. Keep the exploding mechanic, too. Heck, why not more kinds of wands as well? Well, wands. What are you doing? Are you just trying to figure out where I am in the...
Yeah, you jumped around so much that I was confused.
I jumped forward over a few things, you know. We did, when we initially, with NS13, one of the things on the to-do list, this is not really anything to do with this, wanted to polymorph using it on a monster would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's because it would have, you know, like you said, if we kept the same exploding mechanic, I mean, we could do a set of monsters that you could turn stuff into. Because it's basically equivalent to Cleesh, right, which is not, like, broken.
Right.
All right. Yeah, it's a neat idea. I feel like there are, of all the zones in the game, the NetHack stuff just could be, there are a billion things that we could add, things that we could, like, mechanics we could sort of half-ass adapt from NetHack.
Pets.
Yeah. They could, like, your familiars could wander in and steal stuff from shopkeepers for you.
Right.
We had talked about when we were making the Dungeons of Doom potions do stuff when you use them in combat. What the Teleportitis potion was supposed to do was to make the monster disappear and end the combat, and then like three or four turns later, it would show up wherever you were adventuring. Because that was funny, but then I didn't do it. I think because it was a lot of work. No, because it was more work than the other stuff. But, I mean, I don't know if it is worth the trouble for the sake of, like, a joke, basically. Because you'd never use it for anything, right?
Right. Probably not.
I mean, I guess if it was, like, a free runaway, right? And then you could somehow avoid the combat in the future. But we'd have to make it so you couldn't, right? Like, we'd have to make it show up eventually. Yeah. Linguidi Lad says, hey, Jake, do you think anybody's been banned yet for spamming chat when they were really suffering from the bruised jaw effect?
I'm guessing they have definitely been doing something.
I don't know. You know, there's supposedly all this drama in the LBC, but I don't think there's really any
drama. I think that, you know, if you have the chat effect and you continue to chat I think it's totally, if you are making an ass out of yourself because of this chat effect, I think you kind of should be banned, you know? Like, it's hard enough to moderate chat with people talking normally, and it's going to be doubly hard if they're, if it effectively looks like just spam, and, you know, I would back up a mod that did that. It's extremely touch and go.
So if somebody just started posting the entire text of The Great Gatsby in chat,
somebody was reading
the Declaration of Independence or something. Yeah. If somebody started doing that, we would ban them. If somebody started doing that with the Jaw Bruiser on, we would ban them. I think, you know, like, it's because that kind of shit is obnoxious. That's not chatting. Squee says, the radio shows with Front a lot are always my favorite. Can the rest of the team force Jack to move back to Brooklyn so we can hear Front more often?
You've never lived in Brooklyn.
I've never lived in Brooklyn. He did say he would do a monthly
show.
Because when I told him, I'm like, you know, we should do a podcast every week. And he was like, you know, I could commit to something like that if it was more like every month. But it wouldn't be, you know, I don't know that doing the KOL show with him all the time is going to be like that.
No, I was thinking you get the pretentious artist and you in front a lot, and maybe me, and we do a dating advice show. Mm.
How are we going to do that?
Technically, I have no idea.
Cross boundaries. Cross country.
Yeah.
I don't know how well the... I'm curious as to what the pretentious artist would actually be like recorded. Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whether he would step up. Like, because you got to be a little, like, on in a way that people don't normally do. Right?
Well,
maybe you don't, because I mean, and Riff turns off when it's time to do the radio show. Oh, are we still on the radio? I mean,
are we still on the radio?
What?
Player base is super stupid. They're never gonna solve my puzzle because they're dumb. I've started since you mentioned to me that you wished that we did more puzzle stuff. I've started thinking of puzzle ideas and writing them down. And
oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, I don't pay you to think hot stuff. Actually, I totally do. God, fuck, I'm getting ripped off. Sable 4 says, there's an extension for Firefox 3 called Old Bar, which disables the Awesome Bar. That's... Foggy says, any reason why abandoned candy isn't categorized as candy? Never mind, I see why. What's abandoned candy?
Anything that was like a quest item, or... There were a variety of things that I had to... exclude. I've got to call Foggy, man. Shoot. Because he had vaguely mentioned that maybe he'd be interested in hunting with our team. I'm guessing at this point he's already made commitments, but if not...
Well, we should get off this here...
Off this here radio
box. Yeah. But I should,
How has it already been another year? How is 2009 almost over?
I don't know, man.
Like, it has not been 12 months.
We're getting old. Time just rockets by. We're gonna be dead soon. Alright. Speaking of which... Good night, kids.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Good night.
If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? you come from Cotton Eye Joe?